Welcome to Chi Alpha at the University of Virginia. This podcast is a collection of messages designed to help you grow in our three anchors of real devotional life, real community, and real responsibility.
We hope that you enjoy this message and that it encourages you in your spiritual growth.
Well, hey, thanks Jen and Aaron and Joy for those awesome announcements. Hey, I've got one more announcement for you fourth years and graduating students. On Sunday, April 26th, we have our annual fourth year celebration. So the fourth year celebration is just a time for you to get together with other members of the graduating class and celebrate what God has done during your time at UVA. So this is always a real highlight for our fourth years and graduating students. We didn't want to miss it due to being in our individual homes. So here's what's going to happen. We are going to put on our semi-formal attire and grab a drink to toast with and meet together on Zoom for the fourth year celebration. And we're just really, really looking forward to it. So if you would like to be a part of that, which I hope you will, email Ben Baker at ben.baker@xa@uva.com. And when you email him, make sure to include your home mailing address because, well, you'll find out if you do that, something may come your way. So, email Ben if you would like to be there, which you hope you will. We are excited to celebrate with our fourth years and graduating students on April 26th. Awesome. Well, that's all for the announcements tonight. My name is Josh, and I'm on staff with Chi Alpha, going on 10 years now, and I'm excited to be able to be with you tonight on YouTube. And it's just so exciting that and even though we are separated and at home and practicing social distance, that we get to meet together weekly in this moment to worship God and to learn from His Word and just to be together as a Chi Alpha community. So I'm excited for tonight. I hope you're all kind of watching it as core groups and planning on tuning in on Zoom afterwards to kind of process some of the questions at the end of the message and spend that time in community. I'm really looking forward to that. Also, I know that there may be some families. You may be watching this with your family tonight, and just want to give a big shout out to the moms and dads and grandparents and siblings tuning in tonight. We are so glad that you are joining us as well. As I said already, my name is Josh. I'm with Chi Alpha, and I have been here in my home for the past month or so with my wife, Kathy, and my two kids, Carter and Aubrey, which you can see a picture of them on your left. And over the past month, we, probably like you, have been looking for creative and fun and new ways to spend time together within these four walls. And we've been trying to spend some time outdoors, taking short walks, or spending time in our yard. A few weeks ago, we were doing some yard work out in the backyard. And one thing we did was we built this little enclosed rock pit for Carter and Aubrey to play in with their toy cars and trucks. So we built it for them, and they enjoyed playing in it for a few minutes. And Kathy and I were back out pulling brush and weeds when all of a sudden we heard Carter just give out this huge scream, spiders. So we ran over to see what was going on. And truth be told, there were these teensy weensy itty bitty spiders crawling around in the pit. So he was done with that. So we went over and started playing in the yard. And then a few minutes later, he screams again because he recognizes there's spiders in the yard as well. And he runs up onto the porch. And at that point, you know, he's basically done for the day in the yard. And in that moment, I just told Kathy, "Hey, babe, I don't think we're raising a Boy Scout." And Kathy said, "Yep, I think you're right." Well, Carter is not the only member of our family with irrational fears. Aubrey, who's almost two now, every time she sees this red plastic lobster, lets out a huge squeal and says, "Lobster!" And she has really been working on her high-pitched squeal game, which is quite strong right now. So she's afraid of lobsters. The lobster just hit the camera stand. I have a fear of our garbage disposal. Know that there's no reason to believe that the moment I stick my hand into the disposal to grab the little spoon, that it's going to go off and eat my hand, but I know that as what's going to happen. So I don't stick my hand down there. I use a pair of chopsticks and kind of fish around and get the little spoon that's down there because I just have this fear that's going to animate and eat my hand as soon as I stick my hand down there. I imagine our family is not alone in our fears. You probably have a phobia or two as well. Maybe it's a fear of the creepy crawlies. Maybe you have triskaidekaphobia, which is the fear of the number 13. I don't know. I know that fear is a common human response to many things in life. Many times we are simply afraid of the silly things, but sometimes we're not. Sometimes our fears are real. Many of us are experiencing challenges and asking questions we've never dealt with before. Are my parents going to keep their jobs? Am I going to be able to find a job when I graduate? Are the people that I care about going to get sick? Are things going to be okay? Even if there wasn't a global pandemic going on, there'd still be plenty to worry about. Many of us can hardly go a day without some worry, some anxiety, some fear stealing away the peace that we're looking for. The question is, what do we do with these feelings? If we're honest, worry and anxiety hardly ever make a situation get better. But oftentimes, these feelings have such a grip on us that they're hard to let go of. Are we meant to ride the waves of our circumstances and only experience peace in split-second moments we can grab a hold of it? We hope that's not the case, but sometimes it feels like it is. Is it possible to live at peace in anxious times? That's the question. That's what we're going to be looking at in our passage tonight. Let's open up to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we'll start reading in verse 4. Before we do, I want to set the context for what we're about to read. So Paul is the author of this letter to the church in Philippi. And Paul, midway through his life, had a radical conversion experience. And with the remainder of his life, he spent it proclaiming the gospel under extremely difficult circumstances. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul gives his resume, and he talks about how he was shipwrecked 3 times, how he was beaten with rods, given lashes, how he was stoned, how he went without food, how he lived in constant danger. The list goes on in that chapter. And that as Paul is writing this letter to the church in Philippi, he is writing from Rome, where he is imprisoned and where he does not know how much longer he has to live. In fact, Rome, where Paul is in prison as he writes this letter, is where he will, a few years later, be killed for his faith and for proclaiming the gospel. So in other words, what we are about to read is from someone who has lived through extremely challenging times. So let's look at what Paul has to say. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. So Paul tells the church to do what? To rejoice. Rejoice in what, Paul? You're in prison. Rejoice, Paul says, and not in the circumstances in which you find yourselves, but rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord who is faithful. Rejoice in the Lord who is worthy. Rejoice in the Lord who is near. It's powerful. What Paul has to say next is even more important. In fact, what he's getting ready to tell the church in Philippi is something which I need to be reminded of so often. In fact, it's the one command in Scripture that I probably need to be reminded of more often than any other command. It's so important. So let's take a look at what that command is. verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. Why do I need to be reminded of this often? Because I can handle, do not be anxious about spiders. I can handle, do not be anxious about garbage disposals. I can handle, do not be anxious about the little things. But no, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. What does that mean? It means do not be anxious about your grades. It means do not be anxious about your job security. It means do not be anxious about your relationships. It means do not be anxious about your health or the health of your family. It means do not be anxious about anything. What? How do we do this? Why do I need to be reminded of this often? Because I am not good at it. Because oftentimes it seems impossible. How do we live without anxiety in a world of such uncertainty? And how do we do what oftentimes seems to be totally unnatural? How do we do it? Thankfully, Paul doesn't leave us hanging, so let's keep reading and see how he instructs us to live this out. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, let's break this down. When I look at this passage, I see three key aspects to loosening the grip of anxiety in our lives. And the first key I see is to know the God who is near. To know the God who is near. Verse 5, Paul reminds the church, the Lord is near. Friends, we follow a God who is present in our pain, not a God who is distant or disinterested or impotent to do anything in our lives. Paul knows the personal presence of this God so well. In Romans 8, Paul says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I'll add one addendum to that passage. Social distancing cannot separate us from the love of God. As you sit at home on your couch right now, with your own set of fears and anxieties, know that God is right there with you. I believe that's something God wants you to know tonight. God is with you. Another scripture that speaks of this powerful personal presence of God is Psalm 23. Psalm 23 starts off, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." What's the job of a shepherd? A shepherd, his job is to be with the sheep. Shepherd doesn't come check on the sheep every now and then and see how they're doing. Shepherd doesn't monitor the sheep from afar. No, the shepherd is with his sheep. God is our shepherd. The psalm says that even though we walk through the darkest valley, that we fear no evil. For God is with us. Tonight, you may need to be reminded that God is your good shepherd, that God is with you, that he is always available, and that all we need to do is to reach out to him. So how do we reach out to this personal, present God? How do we access him? Well, that's the second key. So let's look at it. So the second key we see in this passage to loosening anxiety in our lives is prayer. So Paul talks about how by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we present our requests to God. Now, I believe that this addresses one of the deepest questions of our hearts. Where do we turn when we find ourselves in the face of difficulty? If you're anything like me, oftentimes we turn to ourselves. How will I get through this? What am I going to do to fix the problem? How am I going to deal with the source of my anxiety? But Paul says, no, you are not the solution to your greatest problems. says, no, you're not the solution to your greatest problems. The fact is that when we try to place that burden upon ourselves, we actually only increase our level of anxiety when we try to have complete control of our lives. The solution, Paul says, is prayer. To recognize this personal God and let Him know what we need and let Him know what we're feeling. To let this personal God know what we need and to let this personal God know what we are feeling. In the Psalms, we see David not only pour out his requests before God, but we also see David pour out his heart to God, his joys and his praises, his anxious moments and his worries and his fears, all of it. Prayer is ultimately an act of humility. It's an act in which we give up trying to control our lives and trust God with every part of who we are. I encourage you in this season to reach out to this personal God in prayer with the needs of your life, but also with the emotions and the feelings in your heart. You could bring those anxieties and those worries and those fears, as well as those joys and praises to God. So that's the second key. Probably the third key to living at peace in anxious times, to loosening the grip of anxiety in our lives, is to remember what God has already done. Paul tells us to come to God with thanksgiving. It's so important to step back and remember that God has been faithful in the past and that He will be faithful today. That's why it's so important that we not neglect our time in Scripture during the season, because it's in Scripture that we're reminded over and over and over again of the stories of God's faithfulness throughout history. I think one of the greatest stories of God's faithfulness in the Old Testament is the Exodus story. It's where God brought His people, the Israelites, out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt, miraculously out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, into the wilderness, and into the Promised Land. As Israel is moving out of Egypt towards the Promised Land, God speaks to His people through Moses. And He says the following in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. Moses says, "When the Lord your God brings you into the land He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." In other words, what God's saying is that the key to the Israelites thriving is not in their current circumstance, that they did not have it good in Egypt, but also if they were to go into the Promised Land and forget who God was, forget His goodness, forget what He had done for them, that they would be in a similarly bad spot. So that's why God gives them this warning to not forget who I am. I think oftentimes our current situation can be so bad or it can be so good that we forget the God who sustains us. We must remember that we know a God who is bigger than the current circumstance we face. It's also important to remember God's faithfulness, not just in history, but in our own lives as well. Have you ever experienced God's goodness in your life? Have you ever seen Him come through in the past? In moments like these, it's important to remember those moments from our life and praise God for them. And earlier this week, in a devotional time, in a time with Jesus, I was feeling a bit of anxiety. And the night before, I had kind of had a little bit of a difficult time going to bed. My mind was just kind of spinning and kind of woke up feeling that way. And as I was in my time with Jesus, I just began to make a list of all the things that God had done in my life and things that I was thankful for. And as I did that, my perspective shifted from the situation right in front of me to the story of God's faithfulness in my life. And I would encourage you to do that as well, to allow who God has been in your life to to be a point of reference, to shift our focus away from what is right in front of us to who God is, and to have confidence that He will continue to be that God today. So that's the third key. The third key is remembrance, or thankfulness. So just to recap, how do we live at peace in anxious times? How do we loosen the grip of anxiety in our lives? Paul tells us we do that by coming to know a personal God who is present with us in our anxiety. Second, we do that by coming to this personal God in prayer as our one firm foundation on which we can build our life, the God who knows what we need, values us, and loves us enough to take care of us. And then third, we do so by remembering what God has done in history, but also what He has done in our lives, and that our current situation is not bigger than the God we serve. So, what happens? What happens if we do these things? What is the result? So let's open up and finish our passage as we move towards some kind of concluding thoughts. So verse 7, Paul says this, that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the result, what's the result? The result is peace. Not just any kind of peace, but peace that transcends all understanding. Peace that doesn't make any sense. Peace that might even seem foolish at times. And Paul says that this peace will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Now, you might be surprised that we've gotten to the end of this passage and that we see what God offers us is peace. Because after all, we want to see our circumstances changed. We want our prayers to be answered in the way that we want them to be answered. We want to see God break through in supernatural, explosive, show-stopping ways. But that's not the guarantee. The promise is peace. And I think that that is because God knows that of all things, peace is what we most desperately need. So how does this play out? For me, this means that when I worry during the season about how my family is going to be affected financially, that Jesus' peace guards my heart from making an idol out of money and will keep my desire for Jesus above everything else. It also means that Jesus' peace guards my mind from constant worry and scheming about how I can create my own false sense of security for me and my family. Because here's what I know. Here's what I believe about God. I believe that God knows that it's more important for Him to guard my heart, my mind, and my bank account. Because the two first things are too valuable to God for Him to not guard and protect by His peace. For some of you, this may be a season where your future and how your academics play into this are a source of worry. Am I going to get into the right major? Are my academics going to be enough when it comes time to enter the job market? For some of you, the question is, okay, my summer internship just got canceled. What now? Well, I believe that when Jesus' peace guards your heart, He'll keep the idol of grades and the pursuit of success from dominating your life. Jesus will remind you that your identity is not defined by your GPA. It's not defined by the title that is on your business card, because your identity is the son or a daughter of the King who is so, so valuable and so, so loved by God. Also, when Jesus' peace guards your mind, He gives us permission to stop trying to micromanage our life, to peel our fingers off of the steering wheel, to stop trying to be the masters of our own destiny, and acknowledge, to fill our minds with the truths that Jesus loves us, that Jesus values us, that He knows what we need, and that He has plans and purposes for our lives as well. So this plays out differently for each of us. We all have our own unique anxieties that we carry during this time. If you've wrestled with anxiety and fear regarding the pandemic and the health of your family, like many of us have, Jesus offers you peace as well. When our hearts and our minds start to spin out of control and anxiety and worry, we must ask Jesus, we must invite him to come to guard what is most precious to him, to guard our hearts, to guard our minds, to speak peace over these areas where we oftentimes just do not even have control. As we close, I want to remind us that we can be at peace today because of what we celebrated yesterday. That Jesus is alive. That Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave so that his resurrection power might be alive in us. Jesus did not die so that we might live out our days in anxiety and fear. No, he died and was raised again to life so that we might live at peace in any circumstance. This is the hope that Christians have had throughout history. In fact, through much of church history, Easter has been celebrated during dire times, during pandemics, during a famine, during wars, during persecution. But the fact is that Jesus, he came to bring hope to a broken world. And it's because of the resurrection of Jesus that we can stand firm in that hope today. Because of Jesus, the same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us. And the Holy Spirit is bringing to life things that are dead or dying in us. But if we need hope this week, the Spirit can bring hope into our lives. If we need joy, the Spirit can bring joy into our lives. If we need comfort, the Holy Spirit is with us to comfort us. The fact is, the resurrection is not just a past event, but it is a present reality that we get to experience day by day as we follow Jesus. And that's good news. So this week, may we be people of resurrection hope. May we rest in the presence of the Good Shepherd who's always with us, no matter what we're going through. So we can return to this personal, present God in prayer, knowing that he loves us, knowing that he is for us, knowing that he can handle everything that we need, and knowing that he can handle the burdens of our heart. And may we this week rejoice in the one who is trustworthy, the one who is faithful, the one who has proven himself in our lives and throughout all of history as the one who is able, as the God who is for us and the God who is with us. So we're going to close with a song of response. But before we do, I'd like to pray over you, to pray to this personal, powerful God as we end tonight. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much that we stand on the other side of Easter, that we come before a risen King tonight, that we celebrate the one who has gone through death and come through on the other side, risen and victorious and glorious, and that because you have done that, Jesus, that we might find peace, that we might find hope, Lord, that we might find joy, Lord, that surpasses any circumstance we find ourselves in. So tonight, Jesus, I pray for everyone who is tuning in tonight, Lord, for that you'd be with them and the unique anxieties and fears and worries that they are facing right now, whether they are large or whether they are small, Lord, that you'd be with them. That you'd speak your peace over their current circumstance. That you'd remind them of who you have been in their lives up to this point. That you would make your faithfulness evident to them. That you would just speak your calming voice over them as they sit wherever they are right now. So Jesus, we thank you for that. We thank you for the promise that we can live at peace with you, that we can live at peace no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in. So Jesus, we just celebrate that fact tonight, Lord, and we pray that you would help us, wherever we're at, to press deeper into that reality of finding peace wherever we are. So, Jesus, we thank you that we had come for you and spend time with you tonight, and pray that you would continue to be with us as we enter into worship as we spend time in our core groups after this meeting. So we love you. We pray all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, all righty. Well, let's worship together now as Joe leads us.
Thank you for listening to the Chi Alpha at the University of Virginia podcast. For more information, you can visit our website, xaatuva.com.